Here we stand at the precipice of Holy Week, having condensed sort of the previous Palm Sunday into Palm Passion Sunday. We've just read through the entire Passion according to St. Luke. And now you want me to stand up and say, preach about it. And sort of confronted with the entire story, to preach on the passion, it's kind of like trying to fill a Dixie cup up with a fire hose. There's just so much. So I was appreciative that there were other lessons in the lectionary. And I think the part of Paul's letter to the Philippians that focuses us for this week as we enter into this saving mystery of Jesus' death and resurrection is that opening line of our reading. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And we should likely run away screaming, for we have just heard the story of how Jesus' mind went. Paul says that he was obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So if this is to be sort of our lens for the week, just what does it mean for us? How about this? On March 24th, this day, we have a nice overlap of events. Not only is it Palm Sunday, Passion Sunday, Palm Passion Sunday, it is also the commemoration of Oscar Romero, Archbishop of El Salvador. Now, Bishop Romero was in El Salvador when the government was doing rather nasty things like going to people's houses in the middle of the night and kidnapping them and then imprisoning them and torturing them and killing them. It all happened at night, and everybody, you know, everybody sort of knew what was happening, and yet nobody knew for certain what was happening. All they knew is that people would just disappear. And Oscar Romero had a weekly radio show, and he would go on the radio show every week and read the names of the people that he found out were being taken. He was entering into the darkness and shedding light. This did not go over well with the government. And on March 24th, a group of soldiers came and kicked down his front door and went in his house and assassinated him. And it is said that when he was found, he was clutching a copy of the book by the theologian Jürgen Moltmann, The Crucified God. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Christ not seeing his equality with God as something to be exploited, takes the form of a slave, become human, that he may be obedient to the point of death. Archbishop Romero, being archbishop, did not see his position as one of power and privilege, but as one to shed light into the heart of darkness, to work for peace and justice, humbled himself, and was obedient. Obedient unto death. You have not run out screaming, so let me continue. Perhaps that's too much for us. Foreign for us. Those of us who live in relative freedom and security, who do not face governmental persecution, do not face tyranny and despotism. So what does that mean? Let the same mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. This past week, on Thursday morning, I went, as part of my normal rounds, over to Chatham to be part of their multi-faith council. And we had hosted, as the multi-faith council, a panel. And the panel was Journey, gender, job, the intersection of spirituality, womanhood, and vocation. And we had three women there to speak. We had, the women were in different stages of life and from three different faiths. We had an older woman, not old, but just older. She had grown kids. She had been married for a while, and who was Hasidic Jew, very conservative. We had a woman who was a young mother. Her child was still maybe just a couple years old. She was a physician. And then we had a young Muslim woman, single, who works here at Pitt. And they all told stories of their journey through in journey in faith and into their vocation. So the Jewish woman, as she was growing up, wanted to be an actor. But it, coming from a family that was very conservative and observed the Sabbath, she wondered how that was going to work. Just at the very base level of how do you perform when most performances are done on the weekends and you can't perform from sundown Friday night to an hour past sundown Friday or Saturday evening. That's a challenge. The Christian woman, who's a physician, wondered about how is it that she could be mother and physician, and not just simply part of the big machine. And the Muslim woman was born in Turkey, and so this was interesting. In Turkey, even though it's predominantly Muslim, it's a secular Muslim country, and so the hijab, the head covering, was banned when she was there. She couldn't wear it in high school. She was not allowed, but she did it anyway, and so all of her friends thought she was weird. And when she was a junior, she ended up moving here into the United States. And she found it very freeing that she could practice her faith as she felt was necessary. And her mother wanted her to be a doctor. And she didn't really like it. She was a student here at Pitt. It just didn't work for her. And her father, who was an economist, told her to... Well, she started talking with him about finance and stuff. She became a financial person. I don't know what they're called. Anyway, she couldn't work at a bank, which is where most finance people go, because as a Muslim, she's not allowed to take any interest at all. Well, actually, now she works at Pitt and does resource stuff. And so she found out how to do it. The Jewish woman has now started a Jewish school for women who want to perform, and works with them on how to get to a place where they can do it while still observing Sabbath, and not like they're not allowed to sing in front of men either. So that's kind of an issue too. So, but how is it that they can do that and still be true to their faith? The Christian doctor, she actually serves at a health center down in here in East Liberty. And serves everyone. It's also focused on those who are underserved, and she's able to pray with her patients. And every single one of them had, in some ways, very different stories, and yet at the same time, they all had the same resonance about limits and faith. And as I sat there and I listened, I was struck by how, as a man, I felt like a limit is placed on me, and what do I have to do? Well, I've got to somehow break through it. I've sort of got to ram against it. I've sort of got to tackle it, overcome it, beat it down. And I was stunned when light was shed on it that time and again, every one of those women didn't see those limits as in opposition to their identity of what they wanted to do as a person of faith and in a particular vocation. They saw the limit as an extension of their identity as a person of faith in a particular vocation. And I heard, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. How often do we hear about those sorts of limits and stuff? And our culture thinks just one more way that when we are connected to a religion, it takes something away from us. It limits us. It takes things away. And yet, here, as I heard the stories of these women, they continued to point out that no, it didn't take away, it bore fruit. Now, the Christian doctor was very clear. She had to redefine what it meant to be successful. And I don't want it to make it sound like every limit that we come up against is somehow good. Some limits that keep us down are simply because of the power of sin, racism, sexism. Those are not what it was. But these were places that it came out of, the women wrestling with their faith, trying to understand what it is, where it was that God was calling them. That is something that we wrestle with all the time. I still wrestle with it. I am sure that in your struggles with being college students, the same thing happens. Maybe not all the time, but times we have to make decisions, and where do we go and what do we do? Christ empties himself. Christ, the God, the Son, takes his glory and majesty and his omnipotence and omniscience and sets it aside so that he might come and dwell with us as a human being, giving up that power and privilege to walk in our midst. Here is the place I think we begin to hear in this Holy Week. What does that mean for us? Christ invites us to come and die, maybe physically, but also to all of the things that seek to claim us, to hold us down, to oppress us, to separate us from one another and from him. Is because it is the promise that Paul writes elsewhere that we are united to him in a death like his, in baptism. And yet, the promise is that we will be united with him in a death like his so that we may be united with him in a resurrection like his. So that we can look forward, and while we know that there are limits, that there are things we do not do, places we do not go, because Christ calls us to follow him, that life will be born out of that. That it is not a dead end. It is not something that cuts us off, but in that we find life and life with him. And not just in that by and by, pie in the sky, someplace off in heaven, but we find it even here and now, that we may shine light in the darkness, that we may testify to a life that is not in bondage to the powers of brokenness, but a life where Christ's love is transforming us and moving us there. This is our lens for this week of the salvific mystery of his death and resurrection. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Thanks be to God. Amen.